Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the weekly podcast by Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I'm Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. So the tension between the current and the former presidents of Kyrgyzstan, Sooronbay Jeenbekov and Almazbek Atambayev, has reached to a new low this week with direct war of words flying in the air. In his latest remarks, the former president Atambayev has publicly called the detention of his allies a show and said that the country is now headed down to the road similar to the previous president Bakiyev's era. His comments on November 19 came 3 days after President Jeenbekov's accusation that the former president wanted him to be his puppet and that he will make sure to disappoint him. These tough words follow deepening discord between the leaders. Now the question is, what was the cause of the latest round of rift? Where is this headed going forward, and what does it mean for the future of Kyrgyzstan? To discuss all these, I am joined by Bakit Bashimov, former Kyrgyz parliamentarian and ambassador, Erika Marat, associate professor of National Defense University in Washington, D.C., Bruce Spanier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owozi. Welcome on board, colleagues.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you. So for some time, we knew that these guys are not friends anymore, but the latest accusation and counter-accusation shows that there is no love lost between one's staunch allies. And it might have reached to the point, I guess, which is not repairable. So the recent round of discord, maybe we can start with you, Bakit. So the recent round of discord was so direct. Was there any particular reason behind it?
Yes, it's a very serious reason, because bringing to power Jeenbekov as his successor, Atambayev wanted to continue his presidency and to rule the country behind him. He wanted to make him a puppet president, but to stay as an actual ruler of a country. And that's why Jeenbekov understood his plan, and it's not a surprise that after election, he decided to turn against Atambayev get the full presidency for himself.
Bakit, I think he understood this a while ago, but he was never public about this. Like, he was not very direct in expressing in his frustration against Atambayev. But this week, he broke his silence in a way by being so direct in engaging Atambayev. Why was that? Was there any particular reason?
Yes, of course. It was conflict between two of them. They released information about the meeting and how they were both disappointed by the results of this meeting. And this kind of conflict was predictable. And because those who are behind Jeenbekov as a new president, they decided to rule Kyrgyzstan by their own hands, but not just listening what Atambayev would like to do. But Atambayev wanted to see him as a puppet president, and that's why this conflict now it's taking place and escalate.
Yeah, Erika, let me bring you on here. Like, you know, we knew that there is a tension brewing behind the doors between these two leaders. Atambayev was more direct than Jeenbekov. Jeenbekov was kind of shy and publicly expressing his frustration, but he did this week very openly. So what is your thinking? What was the cause behind this?
I agree with Bakit Bashimov on everything he said. I also think that Atambayev is afraid of being himself prosecuted or something from his presidency being brought to light to the public. I also think that he sees that his chances of remaining in politics beyond Jeenbekov, Jeenbekov's term, are vanishing. And this is not what he expected. So he wants to, again, he wants to matter. He wants to get attention to himself again, to show that he is the source of one of the centers of political power in Kyrgyzstan. And that's the result of the increasing tensions between him and Jeenbekov, now public.
Now public, yeah. Bruce, you know, all the points taken, expressed by Erika in Bakit. Now, listening to Atambayev's long interview on November 19th on Apple TV, also keeping in mind that we knew that there is a tension between these two guys. So was there anything he said new in that interview? And what was your takeaway? Let's put it that way.
Well, this is, you know, my takeaway was that previously, and certainly as of the STPK meeting, you know, in late March, it was obvious that there was deep division and the two had grown very, very far apart. But I'm just surprised that it ended up getting as nasty as it has all of a sudden. You know, okay, Atambayev's comment that Jeenbekov is headed down the road of the Bakiyevs, you know, I don't see that he is, to tell you the truth. I don't know what Atambayev's information is, but, you know, that was kind of a nasty comment. And this, you know, the release of these documents that supposedly showed campaign funding. And this is pretty tough because, I mean, you almost have to think that Atambayev had some part in that showed that, you know, Jeenbekov might have spent 10 times more than he was legally able to campaign. You know, I mean, it's a kind of a scorched earth policy because he was Atambayev's candidate. And now Atambayev is, you know, reaching down into the bottom of the garbage can here to come up with some information about this. It just shows, you know, the bitterness that's now between them. I mean, I don't see that there is a possibility to heal this rift the way it's going. It just in the last 4 or 5 days, I think it's taken a new and extremely ugly turn for Kyrgyzstan. And like I said, the hour and a half interview on a TV station that everybody knows, you know, he has an interest in, and he was just given, you know, obviously carte blanche to start talking, and all the mistakes that Jeenbekov has made, and you know, the bad path that he's leading the country down, and everything, and it's something that the country doesn't need in the best of times, and things were going more or less stable, if nothing else, and so for this to happen all of a sudden was, you know, it's a small disaster at the moment, and I hope it doesn't get bigger.
What does the timing tell you, Erica? Maybe you can jump in here. I mean, what the timing of what Jeenbekov said and what did Atambayev say? I mean, is there anything to learn from the timing?
I think it was slowly brewing to this point, so it's not something sudden. I also think that Atambayev feels that not only his former allies are now prosecuted, but he's just losing popularity within STPK, within the party that he created himself, and possibly also that he feels that Jeenbekov's government might, you know, this is hypothetical from my side, and I'm sure that some experts would agree in Kyrgyzstan, that he might in fact try to prosecute Atambayev himself as well.
Bucket, do you think that's a possibility? I mean, did Jeenbekov say anything in his interview over the weekend which might explain why Atambayev said what he said?
You know, when information about financial side of a campaign of Jeenbekov was released, it just questioned the legitimacy of Jeenbekov as a president. And Jeenbekov must give a clear answer to this question. Otherwise, political opponents and civil society in Kyrgyzstan will continue to ask this question. And that's why Atambayev used this weapon. I don't have any doubt that this information released from Atambayev's camp through the voice of one of the political activists. And this kind of conflict between Atambayev and Jeenbekov can bring a country to a political crisis.
No, if that releasing that document is an issue, the first question comes to my mind is whether that document was legitimate.
Many activists already proved that about the real names and real numbers.
So that was legitimate, what you are saying?
Yes, and this document and information in this document tells us about huge corruption, about, you know, unfair campaign.
I think the bigger picture here, we need to look at the bigger picture here, you know, aside from day-to-day conflict, is that Atambayev presenting himself as a historic figure for Kyrgyzstan, someone who thinks that he contributed to political development of the country, in fact, is the victim of his own actions. And when he was changing constitution, or when he handpicked his successor, he thought that he was the system, that he had the full legitimacy and, you know, the capacity to implement his vision into reality. However, for many analysts who see how this kind of transformations happen in other countries, it is very often that, you know, what happens in those handpicked transformations is that the leaders who succeed autocrats, they will themselves try to center power in their own hands and distance the very people who brought them to power. It happens very often across different political contexts. And I think Atambayev just repeated this whole scenario in Kyrgyzstan again, that he selected a handpicked successor. He's in the entire apparatus, the entire state apparatus worked to make sure that the successor is elected. And then in the end, not really feeling full legitimacy, full support of the population, even the full support of the political party, the very political party that brought him to power, Jeenbekov is now trying to distance himself from Atambayev and is trying to become the next autocrat who will be able to rule without much political competition.
Yeah, the way he's trying to distance himself from Atambayev is also, you know, raises lots of questions. I believe, you know, you already see number of officials are in jail in corruption charges. And many would say Jeenbekov's corruption campaign is directed mostly to Atambayev's allies. So, as I said, the tension between these two leaders reached to the point of no return. In the meantime, this also has consumed a significant part of Jeenbekov's first year in the office, not to mention the political uncertainty it is causing in jailing of former officials, etc. Now, where is the end to this dispute and what is next in this saga? We will continue the Majlis podcast discussing these and many other questions very shortly. First, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast. I am joined by Bakit Bashimov, former Kyrgyz ambassador and parliamentarian, Erika Marat, associate professor of National Defense University in Washington, D.C., Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Awazi. I am Mohammed Tahir, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's media manager here in Washington, D.C., and we are discussing the continued political tension between the current and the former presidents of Kyrgyzstan and its implications for the country. Now, it's understood that Kyrgyzstan is kind of used to political tensions. Bruce, so what are we looking at this? I mean, earlier we were talking about Nezavisnaya Gazeta's headline that it says that country is again in chaos. Is it what we are looking at?
Well, that might be a little alarmist. I don't see that we've reached that point yet, but this is certainly, like I said, it's a bad development. Hmm. Why? It's not just, you know, it's not just a question of a split between these two men. As already mentioned, the STPK is in the process of splitting too. I mean, the rift between them has widened to encompass the party that they both came from. There are some that support Jeenbekov. There are some that support Atambayev. As I mentioned to you, Mohammed, earlier, Azatik had an article that speculated that Atambayev might decide to get an opposition party together and fully enter politics again. This brings up a lot of possibilities, most of which I would call negative. You know, there's not just because the two guys know each other so well that, you know, we've already seen that they can throw all kinds of dirt out there in the public and discredit each other. You know, Jeenbekov's from the south, Atambayev's from the north. This is a problem. I can't believe that any opposition party that Atambayev would form, if he did, would be a constructive opposition party. I mean, this would be a party that with one specific goal, and that would be to oust or certainly damage the credibility of the current president in Kyrgyzstan, and that's something that is not going to help the country at all. I don't see a whole lot of good coming out of this. And what I'm surprised at, we've mentioned the financing and stuff, but in the end, we all remember how the election went last year. Even if it's not true that there was this massive overspending, for the campaign, the fact was there was huge administrative resources that were used to get Jeenbekov in, and Atambayev was part of that. Okay. This is another thing where I'm really finding a hard time understanding where Atambayev is going with this, because it seems like his efforts to discredit Jeenbekov inevitably lead back to Atambayev somewhere.
Erica, you know, Bruce's point that these guys know each other very well and they probably have lots of compromising documents in their position. Now, how worst can it get? I mean, also, what do you think might keep these guys awake at night when they go to sleep?
So, it's, you know, it's kind of cycles, right? Mm. So I think we already see that Jeenbekov, under the guise of fight against corruption, he is targeting Atambayev's loyalists. At the same time, I think, you know, what we can expect is Jeenbekov expanding his control over media, over civil society in the coming years. It's sort of, you know, we've been there before in Kyrgyzstan, and we've seen that before. And as Bruce said, if there is another opposition party that's formed under Atambayev, the political fight can get ugly. It can give a lot more reason for Jeenbekov to continue to suppress just overall political debate in the country. And, you know, we'll again go into this place in Kyrgyzstan where politics is not entirely free. That's the worst case scenario, not entirely free. There are really deep grievances, political grievances among various leaders, and the, you know, the best outcome would be unpredictable competitive elections next time around, or for the parliament. But the worst case scenario is, of course, deepening authoritarianism and deepening tensions, possibly even leading to some kind of volatile clashes. I'm not talking about, you know, demonstrations on the street, but that's something that is always there's always a space for that in Kyrgyzstan's politics. I also think that, unfortunately, what we saw under Atambayev, and that's, again, we see the results of it today, is Atambayev was not able to build strong institutions. He was not able to expand the parliament's power, the parliament's voice, as dictated by the constitution. And he kind of built this environment for leaders like Jeenbekov to take over and just to continue on very personalistic politics and dismissing various voices in politics. And just one final note is that very much agree with an argument and research conducted by Emil Juraev, who says that the way members of SDPK changed their loyalties, majority of them changed their loyalties from Atambayev to Jeenbekov, just shows the structure of patronage relations in Kyrgyzstan, that ultimately it doesn't really matter who is at the top. They're not attached to an individual, but they attach to the source of power, economic opportunities, and so on. So it kind of, this pyramid of patronage relations, it kind of folds and unfolds under different leaders. And you know, someone who comes after Jeenbekov, no matter how, Jeenbekov again might lose the support of SDPK, and all the loyalties will switch to yet another leader.
Bucket, you know, lots of fault goes Atambayev, as mentioned by Bruce and Erica. Also, on Jeenbekov's aspect, Jeenbekov arrested or expelled most of the Atambayev's influential allies in the government, but it seems he's not comfortable in his chair. At least his reactions indicate me this. What is that he's afraid of?
His legitimacy is really weak.
Isn't that any opposition party? I mean, anyone who opposing the person in power would be talking about the president or the prime minister. But Atambayev is not saying he's opposition, but again, he's doing in a way the opposition's work. That's normal. But why Jeenbekov has to be so uncomfortable about that?
Because of two main reasons. First, his weak legitimacy, and he understands that. And the second one, there are no tangible reforms in the country. He re-established relations with some countries, namely Kazakhstan, after the damage of Atambayev. But if we look what is going on in the economy of a country, and political life, and social structure, we'll see. There are not tangible reforms. And just to be a little bit different from Atambayev is not enough. And that's why. And today, country, you know, based on remittances, it's a number one country in the world. After that, export is shrinking, import is growing. And with the situation in Kumtor, country's ability to intensify export is very slim. And with open Uzbekistan, today Kyrgyzstan getting a big and very strong competitor. And how in this situation Jeenbekov can be really a very strong leader? And after that, I don't think that Atambayev, Jeenbekov both will release compromise against each other, because it will be suicidal for both of them, because many political actors in Kyrgyzstan would like to get rid from both of them, understanding that to some extent, Jeenbekov is a legacy of Atambayev. And Kyrgyzstan needs to open a new page in its history.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but if I could just jump in real quick, too, and mention that, you know, if I was Jeenbekov, I would also have to consider that Atambayev is a veteran opposition figure. I mean, he took on Akayev at the end of his term and Bakiyev, too, even though he was a prime minister under Bakiyev for a while. But, I mean, so he's got a lot of experience, trying to go after the top person in the country, and which Jeenbekov doesn't have. I mean, he was kind of he was the governor, you know, of Osh, but that was the highest position that he ever had, and he's not a known opposition figure. So he doesn't have the kind of experience that Atambayev has. And if I would, you know, I agree with Bakiyev that it wouldn't make any sense for them both to turn out all the dirt and, you know, and compromise and ruin each other. But then again, Atambayev doesn't behave rationally sometimes. So I don't know. You know, the business with Nazarbayev last year, which he sticks by in this interview and says he was absolutely right to call Nazarbayev out. And, you know, I mean, it caused all kinds of problems in Kyrgyzstan. So you don't know what you're going to get with Atambayev. It's not like you can predict what he's going to say or what his behavior is going to be, because he's already shown that he can kind of fly off the handle and do things that no one could expect.
Yes, and ironically, Atambayev today is fighting with his own legacy.
Is he aware of that?
Of course. Of course, he thinks that he was betrayed. But actually, his personal story is full of this kind of betrayal.
Okay, so earlier Bruce just mentioned it, we skipped over it. Erika, maybe going forward, could Atambayev form an opposition party, whatever followers he has, and come together and form a real opposition against Jeenbekov?
Yeah, of course he could. There is nothing to stop him from doing that. And it seems like this is the only narrow political path that he has to continue to matter inside the country. But I also think that he will not have as much support as he had when he was running for president in 2011. His political party might also bring a lot more tension, political tension to the country. That is not to say that it will necessarily be a bad thing. I think Jeenbekov needs a strong opposition in the parliament or outside the parliament. It'd be interesting to see how current Zipika members who are able to achieve various positions in the government, in the foreign service, and in the parliament, who were loyal to Atambayev, whether they will continue to be loyal to Jeenbekov or they will join Atambayev eventually. But just to sum up everything, I think the political life in Kyrgyzstan is still dynamic. There are lots of various opinions, loyalties across the political spectrum. And with every change of presidents, the country learns something new, you know, how things should be done, how things should not be done. I really hope that going forward, you know, maybe beyond Jeenbekov, maybe the next leader or set of leaders will really try to set up a more fair competition for presidency, so it's not an obvious handpicked successor who succeeds the previous incumbent. And by doing so, there will be a certain pattern to how the population participates in political decisions, it's not just a game of several people at the top.
Yeah, your comments kind of summing it up, but I had one more point to take you guys back. You know, this topic once in a while comes on the agenda raised by some parliamentarians or political activists, scraping Atambayev's presidential immunity. Is it something in the consideration bucket that you have insider line of contact? Is it something that you are thinking about?
It is possible. If those who are jailed now, those who are still loyal to Atambayev, will start to release information about his personal participation. Last summer, when I was in Kyrgyzstan, I met with some people who are very close to the political camps, both political camps, and they will express the common view that if Atambayev will continue his, as they named it, destructive policy, and he will be jailed. And they told me that it is enough evidence to do that. But in my view, this kind of scenario is not good for the future of the country, because both political camps should resolve this conflict, move forward, and probably our political actors in Kyrgyzstan should think about the near future. A near future for the economy of Kyrgyzstan is very, very difficult. And Kyrgyzstan should think how can make its economy better.
And also, I think, I mean, they should come to terms that, I mean, the criticism of each other is part of the political life in any country, so it will continue. Bruce, let's end the discussion. So, you know, Kyrgyzstan has gone through many political turmoils in the past, in 2005 and 2010 being a highlight of that. So how different or similar is this, what we are facing today, is compared with the previous ones?
Well, you know, the one thing I see is these guys were supposedly allies in the past, and alliances, you know, come and go in Kyrgyzstan all the time. But a year ago, if you'd said something like we would be in this situation, I wouldn't have thought that that was actually possible. They seem to get along a lot better than that. So, you know, there's that we haven't seen that. Usually the opposition part of it was much more open, you know, early on, you know, and that's what Akayev was out, and then the people who opposed him, you know, celebrated that he was gone, and then Makiev was out, and the people that opposed him celebrated that he was out. And this is kind of a different situation. Because, like I said, they both come from the same party, and they appeared at least to be friends until recently. So it's kind of strange. You know, I would say I agree with Pekit 100% that when these people are elected president and when they're campaigning and stuff, they say that they're there to work for the people. And what is happening now between them is not helpful to Kyrgyzstan's image or its future. And if they really ever were concerned with the future for the Kyrgyz, a better future for the Kyrgyz people, the people of Kyrgyzstan, then they got to find a way to make this go away and get along, you know, not talk about it. I hate to think that maybe someone got away with something in the past, some corruption scheme or something like that. But, you know, really, this just doesn't do the country's image any good. It won't do any good for the people of the country in the long run. And they really need to just set this aside and figure out some way to settle this as quickly as possible and concentrate on the things that are important, as Bakit mentioned. What about the economy? What about all the other reforms that need to be implemented in the country? These sideshow political battles are unhelpful.
Okay, just a final comment. Erika, maybe let's conclude this with you. Yeah, we all agree that this is not helpful for Kyrgyzstan, but how much of a factor is this tension on day-to-day life of people?
You know, oh, I think it's at this point, it's more of a political show. I don't think it really affects the everyday life of Kyrgyzstanis. I think, you know, for the most part, people are concerned about, you know, how to provide food and, you know, be able to raise their children and to make sure that they are, you know, economically safe across the country. When it comes to Bishkek, I think the most pressing problem today in Bishkek is air quality, and the residents are literally choking under the smog in the city. And Atambayev's, I don't think anyone takes Atambayev too seriously. And people are just carrying on with their day-to-day lives.
Okay. Thank you very much, Erika Murat, Associate Professor at the National Defense University in Washington, D.C. Big thanks goes to Bakit Bashimov, former Kyrgyz ambassador and parliamentarian, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia Blog, Kishlok Oazi. Colleagues, thank you very much for your time and thoughts today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.